Philippians chapter 2 this morning in your Bible. Philippians 2, we're going to read verses 5, 6, 7, and 8 as the text for the message and preach from these four verses this morning on the person of Jesus Christ. So Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 through 8. I got a little bit congested. My ears are stuffed. Is the sound okay this morning out there? It's all right? Everybody can hear okay? Okay, very good, very good. It's a little muted to me, but I don't want to get it any louder if it's loud enough. Okay. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good book. And we'll read these four verses responsively, if you will. If you join me on the even-numbered verses 6 and 8, then I'll read 5 and 7 for us. This is a great passage. My, my, my. Great passage about Jesus. And now Paul wrote here to the church at Philippi in chapter 2, verse 5, says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Now, dear God, we thank you for the recorded word you've given us, and we thank you for this portion of it. We thank you most of all for your precious Son, Jesus, our Savior, our older brother, the captain of our faith. Lord, I want to preach about him this morning, and I know from the get-go that it won't be like it should. Nobody could ever do justice to the person of Jesus with human tongue. But I pray that you'll come, dear Spirit of God, and help us to hear in our hearts what ought to be said about Jesus and what needs to be, what we need to learn. And we'll thank you for it. We depend on you and need you today. In Jesus' name I pray and ask. Amen. Thank you. Be seated, please.
When shadows fall and the night covers all, there are things that my eyes cannot see. I'll never fear, for the Savior is near. My Lord abides with me. How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Where is the gives me peace? How can I fear with Jesus? When I'm alone and I face the unknown and I fear what the future may be, I can depend on the strength of my friend. He walks along with me. Jesus is King. He controls everything. He is with me each night and each day. I trust my soul to the Savior's control. He drives all fears away. How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Where is all peace? He gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus? Where is all peace? He gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus?
Beautiful song, Brother Tom. Thank you for that this morning. I want to speak to you on the subject, the mind of Christ. Paul wrote, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I want to talk to you about the mind of Christ this morning. Let's pray together and ask God's blessing on this portion of His Word. My dear Father, as we open Your book and look in it, I pray that You'll take it and drive it deep into our hearts. I pray that, Lord, we'll be like those people in Berea who received the Word with all readiness of mind. And if need be, Lord, we need to search the Scriptures to see if those things that we heard are true. I pray that, dear God, the truth of them will resonate in our hearts and minds this morning because of Your Spirit's presence here. That, Lord, He will be our unseen guest. He'll please have control. And that God will give Him a good listening today. Speak to us, Lord. Challenge us, I pray, in this matter of the mind of Christ. And thank You for it in Jesus' name. And amen. One of the great challenges, if not the greatest challenge, for each one of us in life after we get saved, is to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Following in His steps. It's one of the points I made this morning in the lesson on scriptural baptism in our class. Why do we baptize? Well, you know, I find it amusing to think that there would be somebody who would be of the mind that baptism is unimportant when Jesus included it in the Great Commission. The truth of the matter is, as I told my Sunday school class this morning just a little bit ago, it's the purpose of the church is not to build a big crowd. The purpose of the church is to build followers of Jesus Christ. That's why there's baptism. That's why there's teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. This is the challenge we face. We are left with the admonition to follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, be His disciple, be His follower, to walk as He walked in this life. Now, we all understand, or should understand, that we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus. We understand that we're going to see Jesus one of these days, and when we see Him, we're going to become just like Him. That's going to happen, that glorification. But until then, we are to walk in this world as He walked. Do our best to be like Jesus Christ. And if we're going to be like Jesus, then we must know what Jesus was like. How can we know what Jesus was like? Well, we understand what the Lord was like from a careful reading of the Word of God. Much of that takes place in the Gospels. But there are other passages of Scripture that give us clear teaching on certain aspects of the life of Christ. And here in this chapter, chapter 2 of the book of Philippians, verses 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and so forth, we have a lot we can learn about the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. And I want you to understand this morning that when we speak of the mind of Christ, we are not talking about IQ. We're not talking here about potential for academic success. We're not talking about intellectualism. We're not talking about academic superiority, if you will. We talk about the mind of Christ. We're talking about the disposition, a mentality, if you will, a mindset. And that is critically important for us, friend, to make sure that we understand, because we certainly could never have an IQ, an intelligence level anywhere even close to what Jesus had. Amen. How are we going to compete with all knowledge, all wisdom, with He who is all knowledge? No. But I want to tell you something. We can have a disposition. We can have a mentality. We can have a mindset like the one Christ had. And one reason we know we can have that is because we are commanded to have it, and God gives us commands that He enables us to obey. God never puts anything on us that we cannot obey. That would not be just or fair. And God is a just God, a very equal and fair God. So we understand we can have the mind of Christ. In fact, the truth of the matter is, at the first word of verse number 5, to me, is a critical word. Paul wrote, "Let this mind be in you." Let. I'm going to tell you something. That takes the pressure off. Allow it to happen. You see, if mom tells you, you know, you get up in the morning and mom says to you, honey, says to one of the children, goes to one of the girls, you know, says, go open the blinds and let the light in. By the way, it's always good to do. Don't hang around in a dark house. Especially if you're a person given to fits of depression or melancholy, get the windows open, get the sunlight, get the blinds open, get the sunlight in. That's a good practice. Amen. But you know, hey, go open the blinds and let the light in. Now, when she says that, she does not intend for that girl to create the light. The son and the daughter feels no pressure to create the light. She intends for them to open the blinds and allow the light that is already there to come in the house. Let it in. Allow it to happen. It's shut out right now because the blinds are drawn and the shades are pulled. Put those things up and let the light in. And friend, the great objective in our life is not for us to create the mind of Christ in ourselves, but allow the mind of Christ, which is already there, to reign in our lives. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're a born-again child of God this morning, the mind of Christ is already in you, in the person of the Holy Spirit. It's already in you. You know, I understand He's called the Spirit of God, but you understand other places in the Bible, He is also called the Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of Christ, or the Spirit of God that lives in us, He has the disposition, He has the mentality, He has the mindset of Jesus Christ. And we need to open ourselves to that mind and allow it to exist, rule and reign in our lives. The pressure is off. I don't have to create it. I couldn't create it if I tried. But I can let it. Let this mind be in you. What are you talking about? What is the mind of Christ like? What's the mindset, the disposition, if you will, the mentality of Jesus? What do we learn from it here? The Bible makes it very clear, I think, in these verses, and preachers have put it in all different kinds of ways, and this is how I want to bring it to you this morning. I want us to see, first of all, what is the mind of Christ? Number one, it's a mind that recognized reality. A mind that recognized reality. Look at verse number 6. Paul wrote here, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. The mind of Christ was a mind that recognized reality. And in every one of these points, I'm going to give you what I believe the interpretation is, and then I want to apply it to you and me. How we're going to allow this in our lives to happen. Jesus never shied away from letting others know that He was the Son of God. He had no problems whatsoever. He had no qualms at all about saying that He was God. In His mind, He knew that He was not taking anything away from God to claim that He was God. Can I say to you and me that if we made the attempt to claim that we were God or we are God, we would be taking quite a bit away from Him when we made that claim? And that's true about all these other people out here claiming to be God. The only one who ever lived who could claim to be God and not take anything away from God's character, person at all, was Jesus Christ. And He never... Now, wait a minute. He never gloried in that, but He never shied away from it. He was always ready to defend His deity. You see, in His mind, He knew that He was not taking anything away from God to claim that He was God. Over and over again, to those who would deny or dispute that He was God, Jesus would defend His deity. Let me give you some examples. You can just jot them down. We're not going to take the time to turn to them. John chapter 10, verse 30. I and My Father are one. You know what that was? That was recognizing reality about who He was. He was God. John chapter 14, verse number 9. He that hath seen Me hath seen the Father. Now, I have people ask me, Pastor, what is God like? Wonder what God is like. You want to know what God is like? You don't have to wonder, friend. Get your Bible open to Matthew. Get it open to Mark. Get it open to Luke and the Gospel of John. And read through those Gospels and pay attention to everything Jesus said and everything Jesus did and everything Jesus was. Because I'll tell you something, when you see Jesus, you're seeing God. He is the Father. He said the same thing over in John chapter 12, verse number 45. Listen to what He said. He that seeth Me, seeth Him that sent Me. That was after He told them that He had come from the Father. He said, He that seeth Me, seeth Him that sent Me. What He was saying, what was He saying? He was saying Jesus. Jesus was saying God and I are the same. We are one and the same. I am not just a son of God. I am the Son of God. I am God the Son.
He was always quick to defend His deity. And He was right in doing so. Hebrews chapter 1, verse number 3 says that Jesus, I love this. I love this passage. I love the wording of this verse. Jesus was the express image of God. I love that. Express image means the figure stamped. An exact copy. And really, it's not even right to use the word copy because He was not just a copy of God. He was God. He is God. Now, that's who Jesus is. And He would not allow anyone to take that from Him. He always recognized who He was. He did not glory in it for Himself, but He always recognized His deity. The reality was Jesus is God. Now listen very carefully. If the mindset of Christ, if that same mindset is in me, no, I will not claim to be God because I am not. But if that same mindset is in me, I will always recognize who I am in Jesus Christ. Who I am in Jesus Christ. I want to tell you something, friend. In myself, in my flesh, I am nobody. And that's true about every one of us. That's true about the Apostle Paul. He identified with that. In ourselves, in our flesh, we are nobody. But being saved makes me somebody in Jesus Christ. I'm not to glory in that for myself, but I am to be thankful and to remember and recognize the reality that when I got saved, I became somebody in Jesus Christ. I am a member of the family of God. I am an heir of God. I am a joint heir with Jesus Christ. I am the Lord's little brother. That's nothing for me to glory in as far as myself is concerned. But it ought to always be with me. It ought to always be with you. If we have the mind of Christ, we will understand and recognize the reality of who we are in Jesus. Brother, hallelujah, we're in the family of God. That's a blessing. Because unsaved folks are not. They're not. And that's how we were born into this world. We were not born into this world part of the family of God. But man, salvation puts us in that family. There is nothing to glory of in me. Nothing to shout about in myself. But in Christ, I am somebody. So, if you and I are somebody in Jesus Christ, you say, well, Brother Angel, why is that important? If you and I, if we're somebody in Jesus, why is it important? I'm going to tell you why it's important, friend. We should never allow, just like Jesus would not, He didn't glorify Himself. You know, remember the stories in the New Testament there when He would heal somebody and then He would say, don't tell anybody. Remember that? He prayed a blind man, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. He never used that reality to glory in Himself, but every time somebody tried to take that deity away from Him, He said, oh, no. I can't allow you to do that. Because the reality is, I am God. You say, well, how does that apply to us? I'm going to tell you how it applies. We're nothing in ourselves. But in Christ, we're somebody. Not to glory, I'm somebody. No. For His glory. And you and I should not allow anybody or anything to take that away from us. Because we are members of God's family. Because we've been born into His family. Because Jesus is our older brother. Because God is my Father. It ought to mean something to me. And I ought to always be willing and able to recognize the reality that I am a child of God. I am a child of the King. A joint heir with Jesus. God is my Father. Jesus is my older brother. I will not let the world take that away from me. I will not let Satan take that away from me. I won't let my old flesh take that away from me. Because I'll tell you something, friend. If you're a member of the family of God, you're going to live different. You're going to act different. You're going to walk different. You're going to smell different. You're going to be different. And nobody should ever take that away from us. We should never glory in it. We should never walk around with our noses stuck up in the air and look down at people who are lost and unsaved. How could you be? Well, one time we were. You know what's very true about us? We're very quick to condemn the people that we used to be. You know who I have the hardest time seeming to have patience with? Is hippies. And I was one. And that's true about a lot of us. We are quick to be hard on what we used to be. No, no, no. We're not to walk around and glory in our salvation like it was something we did or something we are to be proud of. And boy, you poor, pitiful, lost people down here, God pity your poor soul. If only you were like me. Oh, no, no, friend. Never. But on the reverse side, we should not allow the pressure of this world, the temptations of Satan, or the desires of our flesh to ever take away from the fact that we belong to God. That is the mind of Christ. That is the proper recognition, recognizing the reality of who I am in Jesus. I'm a nobody in myself. But in Him I belong. That kind of makes it a little bit different how I act. That kind of makes it a little bit different how I behave. That kind of makes it a little different on where I go, what I do for entertainment, how I dress, what I drink, what I stay away from, what I partake in, what I don't partake in. It makes a big difference when you have the mind of Christ, recognizing the reality that in Jesus Christ, you are somebody because of Him. Because of Him, not because of us. That's the mind of Christ. Recognizing reality. But I want to be quick to point out number two to you this morning. The mind of Christ is not only a mind that recognizes reality. The mind of Christ is a mind submitted to serve. A mind submitted to serve. Look at verse number 7. This is talking about Jesus now. But made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. A mind submitted to serve. I'm talking about a mindset. I'm talking about a disposition. I'm talking about a mentality. A mind submitted to serve. Now listen very carefully. If ever there was anyone who could have and should have been served hand and foot, it was Jesus Christ. He deserved that, friend. But it was Jesus instead submitting Himself to serve others. The mind of Christ was not consumed with what could be done for Him. And buddy, I'm telling you what, do we not live in that kind of world? The world we live in is consumed with what can be done for us. The mind of Christ was never consumed with what could be done for Him. The mind of Christ was consumed with what He could do for others. What can I do for them? What can I do for Him? What can I do for her? What can I do for that group? What can I do for these people? That's how He lived His life. That was His mindset. He saw the 5,000 hungry. What did the disciples say? Well, send them away. Let them get something to eat. And Jesus said, No. No, I'm not sending them away hungry. No. What can we do for them? What can we do for them? What can be done for them? That was the mindset of Jesus Christ. That was what He was worried about. Here comes the maniac of Gadara. He gets saved. You know what the maniac of Gadara wants to do? The maniac of Gadara wants to go with Jesus and he wants to serve Jesus and wait on Jesus hand and foot. Let me go with you. I'll get in the boat and go with you. You saved me. I'm no longer living in the cemetery. I no longer am cutting myself with stones. I no longer am tearing off my clothes. I'm in my right mind. I have peace in my heart. Let me go with you, Jesus. I'll get you a glass of water. I'll wash your feet. I'll take care of you. I'll wait on you hand and foot. And Jesus said, no. You go back home. Go to your friends. And you tell them how the Lord hath had compassion on you. You tell them. All right, come on in and get a seat. Come on, William. Brother Don, can you watch the doors back there? There's been a lot of distraction this morning, all right? Very good. Where was I? Oh, the maniac of Gadara. There it is. All right. So he says, you go home and you tell your friends, you tell everybody what how the Lord's had compassion on you. When all the disciples were sitting around in the upper room, determined not to be anybody's servant. I was going to turn there, but I won't there for the sake of time. John chapter 13. Here's a bowl of water. Here's a cloth. Here's the disciples. No servant there to wash feet. And all the disciples are sitting around the room thinking to themselves, I'm not washing anybody's feet. I'm nobody's servant. I'm not doing that. I'm nobody's servant. What do you think they felt like when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, stands up, walks over to where that basin is, that pitcher of water, gets that bowl, pours the water in the bowl, drapes a towel over his arm, and begins to go to each one of them and says, "Here, let me be your servant. Let me be your servant." You see, friend, the mindset of Jesus Christ never was, "What can be done for me?" The mindset of Jesus Christ was, "What can I do for somebody else?" This is the mind that's supposed to be in me. This is the mind I'm supposed to allow to happen in my life. Jesus took the bowl. Jesus took the towel. Jesus took the water. Jesus took the basin. And He washed all of their feet. He even said, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister." The word minister means serve. He said, "I didn't come down here for you to wait on me hand and foot. I came here to wait on you hand and foot." Can I suggest to you that if Jesus' mentality was that way, probably yours and I should be. Huh? I'll tell you what, friend, if we're not careful, we will allow the mindset of this world to rule our thinking. You know, what can be done for me? What can I do for myself? Take care of number one. I even saw an advertisement not too long ago, and I should have wrote it down, but I'll paraphrase it for you. I should have wrote it down so I can give it to you, quote it to you. It says something like this: "This year, do something for the most important person in your life. You." That was the advertisement. That is not the mindset of Jesus Christ. That is the mindset of this world. His mentality was not, "What can be done for me?" His mentality was, "What could I do for you? What could I do for them? What could I do for that group?" I'm going to tell you something. Boy, you know where that mindset is absolutely necessary? I'm going to tell you where it's absolutely necessary, where it's life or death, is in the marriage relationship. You know why we're in a mess today? Because husbands are more concerned about what she can do for me rather than what I can do for her. And wives are more concerned about what he can do for me rather than what can I do for him. And I've said it before, and you know, it's not just for those who are getting married. It's for those of us who have been married 28, 29 years, 15 years, 5 years, 6 years. I want to tell you something. You want to have a happy marriage relationship, forget about what he can do for you, sir. What? Oh my goodness, forget about what he can do for you, ma'am. Huh? And lose yourself in what you can do for him. And forget about what she can do for you and lose yourself in what you can do for her. I'll promise you, friend, and I part counseling people through marriage trouble is a part of the ministry. And there is no marriage relationship that doesn't hit some kind of rocky road, have some kind of conflict. There is no marriage relationship that doesn't constantly need to be adjusted. But I'm going to tell you, when it gets into real trouble, when they come in and sit down, and I look at the wife and say, "What's the problem?" And it's all about her. And I look at the husband and say, "What's the problem?" And it's all about him. It's all what he's not doing. She's not doing this for me. And I need this, and I want this, and she's not. That's why that's not the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is being submitted to serve. Jesus didn't come to see what they could do for Him. He came to do for others. That's the secret to happiness. Sure it is. You know, do you realize that just because you're in a position of service doesn't mean that you're submitted to it? You say, "Now, what do you mean by that?" Well, let me ask you a question. You ever been served by a grumpy waitress? Huh? You ever been in a restaurant and only left a tip because you had to? You ever been in a restaurant and not left a tip? If you do that, don't leave a track, please, okay? You know, with my picture on it. That's a blessing. Leave Jorge's picture. You know, the attitude is like, "Okay, you know, why are you here? What do you want?" There's 100 restaurants, and we choose to come to your restaurant to kind of get the idea that maybe we did you a favor. And I'm going to be paying part of your salary, part of your wages. And you're a waitress, you're a server, and you probably ought to be... I tell this sometimes. I was down here at Wendy's years ago. I forget when it was. I think it was with missionary. It was a poor testimony, but I had fun. And this kid behind the counter, he was just, you know. And here was this elderly man and his wife, about 80-something, in front of me. You know, and they're timid, you know. And he's waiting on the guy in front of them, and he gives him his food, never says a word. And then he just stands there behind the cash register, kind of like this, just staring at the elderly couple. They're staring at him. And the elderly man, he looks at his wife, and she looks at him, and they kind of look around. He's just kids, just staring at him. And I'm behind the elderly couple. And I finally, the fullness of the times of the Gentiles was full. So I just said very kindly, "Hey, you're the server. We're here. We're the customer. You wait on us. You ask them what they want." Boy, here came the manager. "What's the problem?" I said, "This kid's a punk. He wouldn't even ask these folks what they want. He found a place for him in the back." It's pathetic. It's like I'm doing you a favor by coming here and bringing you food and water and, "Oh, you mean you need another drink? All right." I tell you, they're in a position of service, but they're not submitted to it. They're grinding it out. I wonder how many Christians live that way. How did you serve this morning, choir? Were you submitted to that form of service? Did you get in the choir because you had to? Are we submitted to it? You wives are in a position of service to your husband. Okay, you're in that position of service. Are you submitted to it? You enjoy it? Is that what thrills you? Is that what you enjoy? Being his helpmeet? Do we enjoy serving? You know, I'm the dad at the house. I call all the shots. Ping, ping. That's about what they're like. Do you enjoy serving your wife, serving your family? I want to tell you something, friend. It's not about being lowly in position. It's about being lowly in heart. Because Jesus Christ was not lowly in position. No, sir, he was not. He was the God-man. There was none like him. He was not lowly in position, but he was lowly in his heart. His mindset, his mentality was, "I may be God the Son, but I am not here to have them wait on me. I am here to serve their needs." Whew. That's the mind of Christ. That's the mind of Christ. What teenager here in this life spends their teenage years thinking about, "How can I serve my dad? How can I serve my mother? What husband? How can I serve my wife? What wife? How can I serve my husband? What employee? How can I serve my employer? What employer? How can I serve my employees?" I want to tell you something, friend. You talk about a pastor with the mentality of, "How can I serve the people? And the people, how can I serve the under-shepherd?" You talk about, if the mind of Christ would be developed, if we could just let it happen. Let the Spirit control us and put that mindset to work in our lives. You talk about unity. Look at Philippians 2. Look at Paul said in the first of the chapter. He said, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." This is the mind of Christ. And he says, let this mind be in you. This mentality, this disposition, submitted to serve. I am a member of the Faith Baptist Church, the body of Christ, that assembles on this corner. Who can I serve? What child can I teach? What baptism robe can I wash? What floor can I vacuum? What person can I encourage? What can I do to serve somebody? If everybody had that mindset, you talk about unity. You know how most people come to church nowadays? I'm checking out what the church can do for me. Well, that's a blessing. How about, what can I do in this church? What's available? I want to serve. That's how Jesus came. That's his mindset. That's his mentality. That's his disposition. Submitted to serve, not lowly in position, lowly in heart. I didn't come here to be waited on. I came here to serve. That's the mind of Christ. Recognizing reality. Man, in Jesus Christ, we're somebody. That means Monday, I'm going to act like that. And Tuesday, I'm going to behave like that. And Wednesday, I'm going to act like that. And Thursday, I'm not going to let the world and my flesh and Satan take any of that away from me. I am a child of God. I'm going to walk that way, talk that way, live that way. That's the mindset of Christ. The mindset of Christ is being submitted to serve. Who can I help? Who can I serve? What can I do with my life to benefit somebody else? And I got to finish this morning. Number three, what is the mind of Christ? A mind honestly humble. A mind honestly humble. Look at verse number 8. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. A humble mind, listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. A humble mind is not one that thinks poorly of self. You know, we hear somebody talk, you all pray for me, I'm just pitiful and pathetic and I can't do anything and I ain't got nothing and I just oh, shucks. Pray for me. Oh, aren't they humble? Excuse me? I think everything they just said in the past 2 or 3 minutes was about them. It's like a book written by the guy that said, humble and proud of it. Huh? I just pray for me. I'm kind of shy, and I just can't, and I just, and I'm not, and I... Boy, there's a lot of eyes in that humility, isn't there? I want to tell you something, folks. Real humility is not thinking lowly of yourself. Real humility is not thinking of yourself. At all. There's more humility in you housewives this morning who spend your days what the world thinks doing nothing, washing those clothes and cleaning those clothes and placing those clothes in drawers and helping clean the house, putting a hot meal on the table. And you know what that is? That's humility. That's doing for others. Humility is not thinking lowly of yourself. Humility is not thinking of self at all. Can I tell you something, friend? When Jesus went to the cross, look at what he says here. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When Jesus went to the cross, it was an act of humility. You know how I know that? Because it was a completely selfless act. Let me ask you a question. What was there in the cross for Jesus? What was in it for him? Let's see. Crown of thorns? Cat of nine tails? Smacked around by people that he could blink into eternity? Spit? Nakedness? Desertion? Pain? Thirst? Separation? Sin? What was in it for Christ? What was in it for him? There was a lot in it for his Father. God's great big heart so loved the world. I want my creation back. I want that me. I want that woman back in fellowship with me. I want that child in fellowship with me. I want that teenager in fellowship with me. I want to walk with them. I want to talk with them. I want to enjoy my creation, but they're apart from me because of sin. I'm going to tell you something. There was something in the cross for God, and Jesus understood that. His sacrifice allowed anybody who would trust him and that sacrifice to come back to God. There was something in that cross for me and you. Sure there was. That was forgiveness of sins and redemption and salvation and a home in heaven and a comforter called the Holy Spirit and a book called the Bible and a relationship with the Father. Oh, there was a lot in that cross for me. There was a lot in that cross for you. There was a lot in that thing for God, and there was a lot in that cross for man, and that's what Jesus did. There wasn't much in the cross for Him, but suffering and shame. But He humbled Himself, not thinking of Himself at all, and said, God, give me Your hand, and sinner, give me Your hand, and I want to bring the two of you together. Whew, man. That's humility. You see, the cross was selfless. It was humble. How humble was it? Well, we have to only look at the degree of exaltation to understand the degree of humiliation. Look at the next verse, verse number 9. You see the word wherefore? Wherefore? Because Christ was honestly humble. Because He went that completely selfless act of the cross. Because He didn't think of Himself at all. Because He gave everything for God and for man. Because of that, God, oh boy, also hath highly exalted Him, given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There is no other Master, Supreme Being, to the glory of God the Father. What an exaltation! A name above all other names, a name to which every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess, yes, Your Lord. You say, why, my gracious, that's major exaltation. Yep, because it was major humiliation. You listen to me this morning. That's the mind of Christ. It's the mind of Christ does not think poorly of oneself. The mind of Christ doesn't think about oneself at all. What can I be for my wife? What can I be for her? What can I be for those precious ones that call me dad? It's not important what I get out of it. It's not for me. It's for them. What can I be for my husband? What can I be for somebody else? Oh, yeah. That's being humble, friend. That's humiliation. And Jesus was exalted above measure because He was humble beyond measure. Nope. The cross was not Jesus thinking lowly of Himself. The cross was Jesus not thinking of Himself at all. Father, please forgive them. John, take care of Mom. Mom, you go home with John now. That's the mind of Christ. Honestly, I'm going to tell you something, friend. I'm preaching this morning to offset the philosophy and the mindset, the mentality of this world, which is all about me. And the mind of Christ is all about somebody else. The mind of Christ recognized reality. The mind of Christ was submitted to serve, and the mind of Christ was honestly humble. I love that little song. When He was on the cross, I was on His mind. Amen and amen. Who's on your mind? Well, I've got to get this, and I've got to have this, and if I don't get this, and if this doesn't happen, and if I don't... Who's on your mind? Who's on your mind? Who's on my mind? Let this mind be in you. This mentality. I'll tell you something, church. If we just open the blinds and let it happen, it'd change this church. You talk about church on fire. Let this mind, the mind of Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Thank you for listening. My dear Heavenly Father, help us, I pray. We are inundated by such philosophies in this world. And Lord, man is at the center of all the world's philosophy. And so by osmosis, many times, we end up living this life all about us. I pray that we'd have the mind of Christ. Every young person, every parent, every husband and wife, every adult, every teenager, every child. God, help us to let it happen. Help us to yield to the Spirit, let the Spirit of Christ develop this mind in us. A mind that recognizes reality, a mind that's submitted to serve, and a mind that's honestly humble. A mind like Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I wonder, Christian, if the Spirit of God spoke to your heart this morning. What's on your mind? Well, it's better to ask who's on your mind. Brother Angel, somewhere through the course of the message this morning, the Spirit of God snuck down my pew where I'm sitting, and He touched my heart very specifically about something that was said. God spoke to me this morning, and I want to recognize that fact. I need the mind of Christ. In one or more areas, pray for me. Would you lift your hand up all over the room this morning? God bless you, and you many hands. My hand is with yours this morning. Maybe somebody's here this morning and you're unsaved. Can I tell you, friend, that when Jesus was on the cross, you were on His mind. There was nothing in that cross for Him, but there sure was a lot in it for you. You can be reconciled to God this morning, brought back to God through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross of Calvary. Let me ask this first, Brother Angel. I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I know where I'd go. I'd spend eternity in heaven, and I'm not ashamed of that. Would you raise your hand, please, if that's your testimony this morning? But please be honest. Don't be dishonest. That's all I ask. Thank you. Take your hand down. Brother Angel, I could not raise my hand just then. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you lift a hand this morning? Let me pray for you. I'm not sure that I'm saved. God bless you. Is there somebody else? I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. If I died right now, I know where I'd spend eternity. I would invite you, if you're not sure you're saved, come this morning to Brother Caleb in the middle of the aisle here, and he'll direct you to a man if you're a male, or a woman if you're a female, who can show you how to be saved. Who's here, Brother Angel? I've been saved, but never baptized since I've been saved. I haven't followed the Lord in that believer's baptism. Pray for me. Would you raise a hand this morning? God bless you. If you're ready to be baptized today, you come. We're ready to baptize you. If you come, you come now while we wait. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And that's right. You come, sir. God bless you. That's wonderful. Anybody else? Came for baptism this morning, or you want to know more about it, we'll talk with you later. All right, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Dear Father, help us, I pray. Lord, may we just submit to Your Spirit in this matter of the mind of Christ. And I pray that He will develop that mind in us as we allow Him to control our mind. Help us this morning. I pray for anyone here not saved, that God, You'd bring them to Jesus Christ, touch their heart. Thank You for these who have been baptized, going to be baptized. Be with us, I pray. Lord, thank You for the privilege of preaching Your book this morning. There's a lot of distractions early on, but Lord, it seemed like You settled in. I thank You for that. Help us to have Your mind. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, everybody's looking. I'm going to ask the folks who help us at the front, please bring your Bible and come now, you men and ladies, to help us up here. Let's be ready just in case somebody needs to come this morning. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The ladies are going to play a song of invitation. Raise your hand this morning. The mind of Christ. Spirit of God spoke to you. It was time now for you to come. Kneel here, Lord. Would you come? Mind of Christ. Mind of Christ. Mind that recognizes reality. Mind submitted to serve. Mind honestly humble. Would you come this morning? Mind of Christ.